That song says, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit." This is Pentecost Sunday, and I thought much about that, and I trust, as the many believers, the Bible says about 120 were in the upper room praying, and I trust that's been what we've been doing with all this extra time. What a great privilege to pray and seek God. Today I want to talk a bit about the Pentecost. My goodness, what power it was. I don't know what your experience has been, but in this journey from time to time, we do feel a Pentecost feeling. I want to read some scripture with you taken out of Acts. The Bible says, filling with the Holy Ghost. And I trust many would say the Holy Spirit, the same thing to me. In Acts 2, in the first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. They appeared to them cloven tongues like a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A whole chapter 2 talks about this event. Certainly we don't have time to do this, but I want to cover some highlights in it that I began to see as I studied and prayed about this. Keep in mind, this was held 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost was also called the Festival of the First Harvest. Jesus was crucified at the Passover time, and he ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection. If you do the math now, that's 10 days. This Holy Spirit comes 50 days after his resurrection. So during that period of time, I believe we can say that they were praying and they were seeking God in the upper room. Jews of many nations had gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. And Acts 2 records the earth-changing events. I hope we have some earth-changing things in our life when we experience the power of God. And the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, fulfilling Christ's promise to arrive and to empower and direct the witness that we're due. This Spirit transformed a small group of fearful men into a thriving worldwide church that's going on today, that is ever moving forward, fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what we're about as Christians. In some way or another, we witness perhaps every day in some form or another by our deeds, by our words, by cards or phone calls, however way we may be witnessing to people. I'll tell you a story about an old American Indian legend. Tells of an Indian who came down from the mountains and saw the ocean for the first time. Now, some people, I don't know if they've ever experienced the Holy Spirit, and if they did, they probably got just a touch of it. That may be what's missing in the Christian circle today, in many churches today, is the power of this Holy Spirit. We talk about God, we talk about Jesus, but there's also his presence. I don't rightly see God, I see a lot of him in nature. I hear and know about Jesus, I read about him, but how about his presence that's supposed to be in our hearts and in this place today and all across the world? But he came down from the mountains and saw the ocean for the first time, all by the scene. He requested a quart jar. As he waded into the ocean and filled the jar, he was asked what he intended to do with it. Back in the mountains, he replied, "My people have never seen this great water." Many people, I don't believe, have ever experienced, even a lot of Christians, get very little of the Holy Spirit. That's why you don't see transformed living and changes and victory and being overcomers. He replied, "My people have never seen this great water. I'm going to carry this jar to them so they can see what it's like." That's what we do as Christians. In however form we may do it, we carry a testimony to others. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power." I know when my batteries get weak, they kind of die. And I got to recharge them. I think many times we need to be recharged. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall. He didn't say you might be. He said you will be my witness. Somewhere you and I have opportunities. This week I had a few. And I said a prayer for this guy who has a very difficult life. to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria. He's just simply telling us all ends of the earth. That means wherever I go. The day of Pentecost was so powerful. Why? They waited. That's not easy for me. My wife will tell you that. But it's a discipline I have to work at, particularly in certain areas. And another area I have to work at, be still and know that I'm God. That isn't easy for preachers, but for many people do it well. They were all together in one place, one accord. Already you see the evidence of your prayer. If we are in one place in one accord, there's going to be peace. And the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing that love condition in our hearts. Certainly didn't came from heaven a noise. So I'm telling, okay, now we don't have to be quiet. There's a noise here. It's okay to be a waterfall Christian. Nothing wrong with that. I like some of them. That they just can't contain all this passion and desire and hunger for Christ. I'm not talking about religion here, but I'm talking a powerful testimony. And I've seen plenty of it in the Pentecostal church. You say what you want to, strengths and weaknesses, but sometimes I've seen some powerful movements of the Holy Spirit. Filled the whole house. It didn't say in the closet. The whole place was filled where they were sitting. There appealed to them tongues as of fire, and I'll touch on that just a little bit later. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was made available to all those who believed in Jesus Christ. That's what they tell us when we get saved. But there's a filling. There's a continuous refilling you do of your food, don't you? You drink water when you get thirsty. And so our cars need gas or they're going to run out. But in a society that's bombarded by activity, there's no time to sit before God and just absorb. This is what these people do. They just waited. And I couldn't think of a better time to just pray, 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 walk, walk, walk than now. You in an audience, you in the heavens, angels are watching and Jesus is listening. The Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian experience. Something dramatically changes. That's found in Romans 8 and 9. We cannot be joined to Christ without His Spirit's presence. No matter how dark it is, how far in the world you can go, or any cave, there you can actually feel God's presence. We cannot be adopted to His children without His Spirit. The Spirit is the power of our new lives. He begins a lifelong, continuous process of making us more and more like Christ. And He's got some good chisels. Believe me, God knows. I think this whole thing is not just about the world, but this is a wake-up call for the churches and Christians. This is not a religious journey. This is a Christian relationship journey. And there's a huge difference. The Holy Spirit has intellect. It actually has emotions. Some of us may be a bit more emotional than others. But if you don't think emotions is part of the Spirit, how would it be like being with Jesus and all night in prayer, crying and weeping? You think He was emotional? Was that physical emotional? Probably some. But there was an enormous spiritual connection between Him and His Father that gave Him God's presence. It testifies in John 15 and 26. The Holy Spirit guides. That's found in John 16 and 13. He commands. That's in Acts 16, 6 to 7. He actually appoints in Acts 20 and 28. He leads in Romans 8, 14. Reproves and convicts of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows light on all those ugly things, not only sins, but the weights in your life, and you have to look at all of those. Why tongues of fire? It was the fulfillment of John the Baptist's words about the Spirit baptizing with fire. He said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's some come. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. He's going to baptize you with fire. Fire is a powerful source. Just look at what's going in our nation. It burns things up, but that's not a good fire. But there's another kind of fire he's referring to. Fire symbolizes a speech and the communion. The tongue does symbolizes a speech and the communication of good news. That's part of what the tongue does. Good news. Fire also symbolizes God's purifying presence. It wants to burn up all the excess rubbish and garbage in my life. It sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. People drive by the church, they're doing something today. They're worshiping God. The question is, am I filled or am I only filled certain times with the Holy Spirit? How do I know or you know that you're filled? We're talking about believers here. And if there's unbelievers out there, obviously are listening and watching. And I pray that the Spirit that radiates off this recording, that you will feel God's presence. If you do, yield to it and give your life to Jesus Christ, wherever it may be. Surrender and experience his power in your life. And for Christians who are discouraged and lonely and hurted and unsure, God wants to revive you with his presence and his Spirit. I came across this and I want to do it justice. I don't know where I picked it up or who gets credit for it, but I like what it says. How do you know? When you give all you know of yourself, just do a personal exam of yourself and your activities in your life, your motivations, your thoughts, your passions, the whole package. When you give all of yourself that you know of to all that you know of him, that's Jesus, then you can accept by faith that you are filled with the Spirit of God. Total, absolute, unconditional surrender. I'll use these words. The great evangelist D.L. Moody said this: I believe firmly that the moment my heart, our hearts, are emptied of pride and selfish and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's word, the Holy Spirit will be able to fill every corner of your heart and my heart. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. Tell you a quick story, that an encounter I had with Stan Shirk. You remember him, Vernon, back many years ago. He was a powerful man of God, a good speaker and evangelist. And he and I got acquainted. I had known him some, but he was with me in the van. I don't know who else was in there. I think he was holding either revivals at Hickory or Mount Butte. I'm not sure, but I'll never forget it. We were out in the van, and we were praying. And we got accused of being drunk. I don't know how all that come about or what they heard. But we were in our praying, and he was telling that the presence of God was so strong that we're in one accord in the Spirit. Very powerful memory. That's a good comment to talk about a Christian, but they didn't have the right part of it. But we were not drunkards. Tell you another quick and far forget a person towards a teenager. Mark, you like these. We all have our stories, but you know how you're greatly influenced by young people. I probably perhaps mid-teens. I'm guessing at this, but I know it's around there. Don't think I was driving, but I was riding with someone else. Some of my cousins, maybe one, I think even one of my brothers, they were getting these Budweisers and drinking them. Boy, it looked so refreshing. looked like it was a thing to do, peer pressure. And I just had to have me one of them. I drank me one of these beers, and I drank about a third, I'll be a half a beer, and I got so nauseated and sick, and I threw up, and I've been cured ever since. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God. God can cure you. If you pay attention what's going on in your life, you can get cured. But people don't recognize it sometimes. And seriously, I don't think, I may have had a little sip of wine, but I never had no beard or rash. That's a terrible tasting stuff. Maybe some people like I care less about it. But here Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, he said, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You know how many parties I've been around them. I just happened to be put in a place where our research lab, a bunch of us went down to Virginia Tech to be for a big meeting, and I got to put up with, my boss put me up with a Christian. But we showed up at this place one night at dinner, and you start partying, having these beers, and I just wouldn't drink any. But it leads to drunkenness. It leads to carelessly words and even actions. He said, instead, be filled with the wine. The contrast with being filled with wine and filled with the Spirit is obvious. Why? Paul is saying that you can be greatly influenced with wine or being filled. I've been around a number of alcoholics. I had an uncle. My mom spent a lot of time helping this guy. He eventually died by actually taking alcohol. Mom would take him in, stay with us as kids. We loved him. He had a crippled one leg. That was my uncle's, mom's brother, an alcoholic. As a little kid, I remember that. Wasted life. Paul is saying about the Spirit, a person filled with the Spirit has different marching orders. A person influenced by the alcohol, it's obvious. There's a little mockery here. I pray for them. We as Christians, but, is under the Spirit of God's control. A happy mutual encouragement to praise God in a healthy mutual relationship with people. Like your prayer was well done. To be the Spirit-filled is to be controlled or dominated by the Spirit's presence and its power. When a person is filled with alcohol, its presence and its power have overridden their normal abilities and actions. A lot of accidents. I saw another one. We came up at a traffic light one time, and the traffic was backed up and stopped us all. In Winchester, Virginia, on Route 7, I remember it clearly. One of my first concerns is the person saved when they're in an accident? Stopped there, and a bunch of us got the car stopped from rolling down. A well-dressed black person would say that. Was innocent. Some lady came by, a white lady came by in a car, hit him. We all grabbed our handkerchiefs and tried to stop the bleeding because alcohol took this man's life. Innocent as he could be. The Spirit gives us abilities and strengths of things we cannot accomplish without him. It's impossible. He empowers us. Instead of doing only what we want to do, we now begin to ask, what does he want us to do? May not change nothing, but many cases he will. I have 3 points here. Why do we need to be filled with this Holy Spirit? What's the purpose of it in just protecting us and going our ways, doing our work and chores, and that's all part of life. But there's a higher purpose than making a living or raising a family or entertainment or pleasure or work. That's part of it. But I and you as Christians have a purpose for your testimony somewhere in this journey of life. So we're filled for a purpose, in Acts 3 and 32, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God with boldness. We ask God to give us power, the Holy Spirit, to help us to overcome difficult troubles in this journey of life. So we need to define that purpose that's bigger because it's eternal. Number two, powerful holy living or holy life. The temptations are everywhere. Influences everywhere. The crowds all time making noise. Many of it good, many of it not so good. The holy life is a person as we are this morning. We decided that we want to come here and worship God. Which is the priority of the week. The highlight of worship to me, church Sunday, is worshiping God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Power for service. Peter was so filled with the Holy Spirit that when he preached, 3,000 people were saved in one day. Boy, I would like to see that. I've seen several hundred saved. I saw 57 make commitments in a prison. One morning I preached and we had a large black group who could fled scene. 57 people made commitments to Jesus Christ that morning. Acts 4:8, Peter and John was arrested for preaching and brought before religious leaders. They fiercely proclaimed the death and resurrection of Christ. Don't ever be ashamed to be a testimony or witness for Christ. It removes the fear of witnessing, gives full confidence to sharing our faith. It is indispensable for abundant life and a fruitful service. And I'm going to use this prayer as my prayer this morning. It was one of the prayers of the great Welsh revivals was this. Apply it to you today if you're watching and listening. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. More than fullness, I would know. I am the smallest of all thy vessels, yet I much can overflow. God bless you.